All right, guys, first of all, hope you had a very Merry Christmas. And second of all, it has been too long. I am glad to be back to wrap up this series on connections. We had a wonderful time over the holidays, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, spending time with family and friends, and birthdays and all kinds of fun stuff, and wrapping up a semester of school. So it's been very full but wonderful couple of weeks. But like I said, I'm glad to be back to wrap up the series. So we've been talking a lot about connections. If you haven't heard anything yet, go back, listen to part one, listen to part two, and jump back in here. We've talked about the benefits of connecting, the barriers or reasons why we don't connect, or what keeps us from connecting. We've talked about the role that fear, inconvenience, and boundaries play in connections. And I wanted to end this series revisiting a few of those barriers, sharing some ways that we can overcome overcome those barriers in order to connect, and talk about some connection killers as well as connection fertilizers. And you can imagine what those words mean. Things that, you know, can knock down our connections, little things that we might say, or even careless acts that really chop away at intimacy or opportunities to connect with people. And then those things that we do that intentionally breathe life into connection or provide the opportunity for life. And then lastly, I want to give you guys some homework for 2019. I cannot believe that 2018 is ending, and I feel like it just flew by, but I'm excited for a new year and really looking forward to new ways to connect. And I hope that this series inspires you guys as the time of year comes to a place of reflection. You're able to look at the relationships that you've sown into this year, and your connection with God also, and seeing what ways we can continue to grow in the following year. And so starting off with barriers, one of the biggest barriers that we discussed was discomfort. And so many people talked about, you know, having an inconvenience or lack of time, or again, discomfort. And I just want to flat out say that yes, sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes connecting is even really awkward. And sometimes it's even painful. Despite there being so many benefits, it's not always easy to connect with people or to make time to connect. You know, it's not always easy to approach somebody you don't really know or you barely talk to. It's certainly not easy to make amends and attempt to rebuild relationships. But just because connecting is sometimes difficult, it doesn't mean that we should shy away from it or that it's impossible. You know, connecting, as we've seen and talked about, is important and often involves a dance of intentionality and intentionally overcoming discomforts and healing. And those two are so important. I'm going to be talking about that throughout this last section in connection, intentionality and healing, and the necessary marriage of those two in order to produce long-lasting and powerful connections. And so, again, it's not always comfortable, you know, for a parent, for example, to sit and play the same game of Monopoly or Legos or whatever it is, you know, for hours on end. But they do it because it's not about the game, but it's about connecting with their child. You know, it's not always comfortable for a spouse to sit and engage in a sport or activity or play or chick flick, you know, that they're just not a fan of. But they do it to immerse themselves in a part of their spouse's world because they love their spouse. And these are just a few examples. You know, it's not always easy or comfortable to spend money, you know, to buy someone a meal or to invite them out to eat. But people do this in order to bless somebody and to spend time connecting with them. Do you get my drift? You know, it's a cost of intentionality. And it's not fair to just talk about the benefits of connection without talking about the cost, like I said, of intentionality. And I wrote a blog a while back titled just that, The Cost of Intentionality, and you can find it on my blog webpage, where after looking at the origin of the word intentional, I came up with this definition, you know, where to be intentional is to willfully and deliberately turn and focus your whole being toward a goal while undergoing a pain of being stretched out and strained. You know, tension is in the word intentional. And being intentional is the opposite of accidental. You know, deep, long-lasting, strong connections don't happen accidentally. Sure, some relationships may start organically, or you might, you know, hit it off with somebody. But in the same way that we can, you know, accidentally brush up against some flowers, some wildflowers in the park, and we can accidentally, you know, not on purpose, make some flowers grow just by brushing up against these seeds, that's fine, but it's not going to grow into something strong and beautiful that withstands every harsh season without intentional care. So there's only so much that you can get by in connections without putting forth effort. But we don't want to just talk about having a connection. We want to talk about the quality of connections. And so I want to share just a few things from my own life, because, again, I value vulnerability and I value the power of testimony. And so, you know, there are moments where I have to overcome discomfort in order to preserve or fight for connection. You know, in the Myers-Briggs world, if y'all are familiar with that, you know, you have your extrovert, your introvert, you know, all these letters. I am what is known as an ESTJ. And that's an extroverted sensing thinker and judger, I guess, is the last letter. And though I'm passionate and a feeler, it's more by virtue of my Latin culture and justice-oriented nature and possibly even gender, because I'm much more of a thinker than a feeler. And oftentimes, you know, if I'm honest, I find myself annoyed with my own emotions. And I've learned over the years how to embrace my emotions, how to understand their purpose, and most importantly, how to submit them to the Lord. And submitting and self-control over emotions is not always easy and a constant work in progress. But there have been many times, you know, even in marriage, where I would forego opportunities of connecting because I felt just annoyed at feeling sad or whatever the emotion was. Because to feel those things, right, the lie that was kind of going through my mind was that to feel those things would imply that I was weak. And so I would choose to stay comfortably uncomfortable with my emotions instead of uncomfortably intentional in my connection. I want to make sure you guys get that phrasing there. You know, oftentimes we choose to stay comfortably uncomfortable in an unpleasant state because that's more familiar than the discomfort and unknown of connection. And it took me a while to get over looking dumb or sounding silly and expressing my emotions. But again, finally seeing the value in, you know what, it's more important to connect, even if I fumble over my words, or it's more important to express myself, because again, the purpose is the connection. The purpose is I value that my spouse knows my heart, even if it looks a little messy. And so, you know, another example, you know, I've shared before that I'm hardwired for productivity. You know, so sometimes it's uncomfortable for me to stop. You know, it sounds silly, but, you know, there's moments where I am just in go mode, you know? And so for instance, you know, there's moments where my husband, who one of his love languages is physical touch, you know, he will want a hug or a kiss while we're cleaning or doing stuff around the house. And for a while I would kind of get annoyed because again, my focus was more on the task at hand and I had to intentionally stop to see an opportunity for connection rather than seeing it as an interruption. So I had to go through a perspective shift. And that is what connection is about also. It's having a perspective shift in what we're doing and why we're doing it. And so I want to take a little moment here because I had been having conversations with the Lord where I had been asking him on this subject specifically of kind of relationships versus tasks, if you will, and sacrifice. I had been asking God to change my view of sacrifice for some time, where I had been seeing sacrifice as a task and at times a joyless one, where I found myself, you know, kind of having to embrace myself or hold my breath, you know, kind of close one eye whenever I felt I needed to sacrifice. You know, not always, but there were times where that's how I felt, and I wanted to feel and have God's perspective on sacrifice, not my broken, annoyed perspective. And so, long story short, I had a freedom procession, and a friend said, and I'm paraphrasing because I cannot say it as well as she said it, but she said, you know, when Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice, his eyes were not fixed on the cross, the pain, or the accusers. His eyes were fixed on the Father. You know, and I think of when he died, he said, Father, you know, into your hands I commit my spirit. And though the pain was absolutely real and excruciating, his Father was his focus. And those words that my friend spoke forever changed my view of sacrifice and my view of connection, for that matter, because connecting is where I found I was struggling to sacrifice. And I realized that when we focus on what the content of what we sacrifice, sacrificing can sometimes feel like an excruciating duty. You know, when you feel like, oh, I have to give of this time, or I have to give of this thing, or I have to do this now for so-and-so, sometimes that can feel pretty painful. But when we focus on the person, there is a joy and peace that allows us to sacrifice wholeheartedly in a new way. And this level of focus is what allows, you know, I think women to undergo excruciating labor pains because the person on the other end is so worth it, you know. And there's a power that comes from connection that fuels the joy in sacrifice. And I want to make sure to communicate this in this part of the series, because we often don't talk about sacrifice. We don't talk about the cost. And it's important to talk about this, because this joy that comes from connection makes the sacrifice of time, resource, pride, you name it, all worth it. When we are talking about the barriers, we're talking about things that we sacrifice, you know, especially with the barriers of discomfort or fear. We're sacrificing those things. We're laying those down because we choose to value connection at a higher cost. And with that said, I think it's important, you know, as we talk about overcoming barriers, that, you know, before we can even go into any, you know, specific barrier, I think it's important to understand that none of this really matters, or we can't even begin to talk about it until we can answer the question that Jesus asked the man by the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus asked the man who had been disabled for 38 years. Okay, that's a really long time. That's longer than I've been alive. He asked him, do you want to be well? And that question always blows my mind, where, you know, Jesus approached him knowing full well how long this man had been crippled. And this is what he asks. And in some translations, it says, do you want to truly be healed? You know, do you truly long to be healed? And this Greek phrase, I'm going to probably mispronounce this, genestai, is not future tense, as in asking him in wanting to be healed, but rather it's asking, are you convinced that you are already made whole? And so Jesus is asking this crippled man if he is ready to abandon how he sees himself now and receive the faith for his healing. You know, he's asking if he's ready to start living in accordance to what has already been accomplished. You know, and I wonder, you know, how many of us are living in the same condition? How many of us carry the same barriers to connection? You know, how many of us continue to look at that cost? You know, even like the young rich ruler continue to say, you know what? Sorry, can't let go of that. It's too uncomfortable. And when all it takes is a perspective shift to start agreeing with what God has already done, you know, what God desires for us to start living in, you know, do you really and truly long to be healed? Do you truly long to be connected fully with God and with others? You know, it's not just about, you know, connection comes from a place of seeing others as God sees them, but also seeing ourselves as God sees us, and to live in accordance with that belief that you are enough, that you are loved, that you are chosen, and believing that genuinely for yourself first allows you to then believe that about somebody else, because we cannot truly or genuinely connect with others or offer to others what we refuse to partake of or believe for ourselves. You know, and again, these are important things to talk about in connection. Like, we don't want to just talk about, you know, make eye contact with people, you know, find ways to connect with them, find things that you have in common. Like, all those things are great, but fundamentally, we need to first know that we are worthy of connecting, that we are chosen, that this is God's design for us to live in community with him and with others. And as that comes up, we need to be able to deal with the lies and the barriers and all of the kind of cringes that come up with that. When we go, yeah, but fill in the blank. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. Yeah, but I'm not whatever. We need to deal with those things first. That's why connection is really about intentionality and healing. And it's about seeking healing first and then taking those intentional steps forward. And as we journey through intentionality and come across roadblocks at times or other barriers that make us kind of freeze up, undergoing healing once again, and a continual dance really between healing and intentionality. And so I want to reframe connection in that light. And so we kind of went through this in part two. And I kind of asked you guys if, you know, your mission, so you chose to accept it, to make a list of your barriers. And so go back through that list. Ask God afresh, you know, God, what is keeping me from connecting with you or others? You know, ask God to start healing those wounds, to start replacing those lies with his truth. And again, we know his truth because of what his word says. So get into the word, connect with other mature believers, and ask God to show you how he sees you, who you are, and who he is in you. And I wanted to touch base on this because I promised in part two that we'd kind of talk a little bit about warning signs to recognize when it's time to give a powerful no to unhealthy relationships. Because again, like I said before, there's a role that boundaries play in connections. And there are moments where there are very appropriate boundaries to be had. And so I highly recommend, as a side note, and I'll say it again probably, going through Danny Silk's lovingonpurpose.com resources. So many great stuff, especially for dating relationships and just a variety of relationships. But there were three main warning signs that kind of stood out to me, and I wanted to just highlight. You know, when somebody does not respect your boundaries, you know, this looks like somebody pressuring you to compromise a standard that you've established, or continuing to disregard your boundaries and walk right over those limits. That's a big warning sign that some conversations need to be had at the very minimum. And again, if boundaries are not respected, then some more boundaries need to be put in place, or rather, saying a powerful no, you know, because of an unhealthy relationship. And a second warning sign that stood out to me was, you know, a person not being committed to personal growth. This is so important. And we kind of bypass this because, you know, we give excuses sometimes for folks. But this looks like someone who remains unteachable. And that's an important word, you know, remains unteachable. We all have moments where we don't want to hear advice. We all have moments where we resist change. We all have moments where, you know, we're kind of stubborn and hard-headed. But to remain unteachable and take no responsibility for our actions and continually refusing to listen, that's a pretty big warning sign. Okay, that, you know, this person obviously needs some healing, but also you need to be able to, again, establish a boundary in that relationship because it would produce more unhealthy repercussions, you staying in a relationship with a person who's not committed to personal growth. And then lastly, someone, I mean, this one I feel like goes without saying, but I'm going to say it. You know, somebody who's angry, aggressive, manipulative, controlling. Again, I don't feel like this needs an explanation, but, you know, any physical acts of violence alone are enough for immediate termination of a relationship. You know, where safety is being violated, that is simply not okay. And again, there are so many other warning signs and depending on the type of relationships, but these are things to keep in mind when you evaluate your connections, when you evaluate yourself, right? Like David, or he asked God, you know, examine my own heart, God. What are ways that we do not respect the boundaries of others? Or what are ways that, you know, are we not committed to personal growth? You know, have we acted out in anger, aggression, manipulation, or control, or physical acts of violence that we need to, you know, seek help? You know, it's important to evaluate and assess our relationships, assess ourselves, to see if we are a safe person to be around, and to evaluate other relationships to see if they are safe. This is, again, another part of connection that we can't ignore. And so I wanted to touch base on this. But again, highly, highly recommend Danny Silk's lovingonpurpose.com resources. Great stuff there. And so kind of moving on, I want to talk a little bit about connection killers. And I came up with two, and I'm sure there's a lot more. But two kind of stood out to me as I was going back through the barriers and even thinking about my own life. You know, the first one is assuming. We've all heard the phrase of what assuming does. but making assumptions about a person, who they are, what they need, what they're trying to say, their intentions, etc. And I came up with this picture as I was thinking about this. And assumptions is basically letting pride or old knowledge or convenience take the driving seat and recklessly drive you into a hole that will be hard to dig yourself out of. And in my cheesy driving analogy, you know, I thought, well, you know, what gets you out of those holes? What gets you out of those ruts? You know, and I thought, the tow truck of humility, that will get you out of those hard places any day. And it's cheesy, but it's so true. You know, we have pride getting us into one place, assumptions getting us into a hard place. But humility kind of the opposite of that connection killer. It's definitely a connection fertilizer. And one of the best ways that I have found to avoid giving assumption power is to humbly ask. We underestimate the power in asking. You know, spouses, I'm sure you've heard this, although really this goes for anybody, whether you're, you know, in a marriage or not. You know, when somebody is talking to you, especially when it's an emotionally charged conversation or somebody is sharing something that appears particularly important to them, I've learned, and I don't always do this, I'm, like I said, still a work in progress, but I've learned that it's important to not just go into that conversation trying to fix it or even to say phrases like, I understand, and I've been guilty of that. But you know, sometimes it's kind of hard, or really it's not received as best when we say phrases like that, like, I understand, when we really don't. And so it's important to ask somebody what they need and not just say things. And I understand sometimes we get a little nervous or we don't know what to say. Don't be afraid to stay a little silent and ask God. I have learned that the hard way, and it is so valuable. Silence is an underutilized tool. You know, that's why we have so many folks with, you know, foot and mouth disease. I've been afflicted with that before. And so, you know, and thinking of phrases, I'm like, you know, you can say, you know, like, for example, this sounds like something that's really important to you, and I want to know how I can best be here for you right now. What do you need? You know, and you can even throw out options. I'm a big fan of the multiple choice, you know, kind of conversation where you can say, you know, do you need a listener, an encourager, an advocate, a prayer warrior, a friend, advice, a hug? Let me know, you know, and you put power in their court. You let them know that I am here to serve you. Okay. And even though they may not even know what they need, letting humility and service take the driver's seat will not only not steer you wrong, but it communicates care and value and, again, intentionality. And all of these big words are all connection fertilizers. Showing somebody, hey, I care about you. I do not want to assume. I value you, and I want to take the time to intentionally be here to serve you in whatever capacity you need at the moment. That's powerful. That's powerful. I remember one day I was having some difficulty understanding this individual and feeling kind of misunderstood also in the process. And, you know, we had exchanged a few conversations over text, you know, where I could feel there was some emotion behind the replies, and I could even feel myself kind of reacting with emotion. And we had set up a time to meet. And I remember, you know, preparing for this conversation where I really wanted to feel understood, but I also really wanted to understand. But the way that I went about understanding was kind of, you know, picking apart some of the messages that they had sent, and, you know, I had written up all these questions, and I went into the conversation, you know, with this paper and, you know, ready to reply and ready to kind of deal with the nitty gritty of the conversation. And I remember walking into those coffee shop doors and Holy Spirit just gently telling me, ditch the paper, follow my lead instead. And I thought, okay, well, we'll see. And we sat down, and immediately I felt Holy Spirit's rush of peace come over me. And the Lord just kind of whisper, and I'll never forget this. You know, I felt him say, humility is knowing that you have more to learn than you have to teach. And I'm going to say that again, because we can never hear this too often. I'll tell you that. Humility is knowing you have more to learn than you have to teach. And for my amazing, capable, world of just knowledge banks people. I'm going to say humility is so important. And I know we have so many things to share with the world, but I have learned that the best way to live is asking God to teach us. And I quickly stuffed that piece of paper deep into my pockets. And instead of going into the conversation with, hey, I want to talk about this thing you said and this thing you said and this thing you said, I simply said, hey, I just want to get to know you better. And I want to understand where you're coming from. And I stopped talking. And we proceeded to have the most beautiful conversation that lasted several hours, where I listened and I got to hear the most beautiful story. I got to hear somebody pour their heart out. We got to connect. And to this day, we have a wonderful relationship because we value understanding that is preceded with humility. And guys, that right there is gold. And I hope you take that away in any connection, interconnection with humility. Though you have so much to offer, enter knowing that you have more to learn. And this is how Jesus did life. Despite being God and knowing everything already, he immersed himself into the tainted world of the broken in order to bridge gaps, to show intentional humility and connection. You know, through that humble love and matchless care, he invited people into transformation. And he even rebuked those religious rulers who assumed, right, who judged and based off of false assumptions and treated people based off of their assumptions. So Jesus had some things to say about assuming and judging people accordingly. Now, another connection killer that I have found to really do a number on relationships has been valuing rightness over the relationship. And that was a big ouch for me. Huge connection killer right there. And I'll add this to that. Not just valuing rightness over the relationship, but valuing agendas, valuing vision, valuing things over the person, over the relationship. You know, I kind of talked about this earlier with sacrifice. But I remember one day, so I have two boys, one almost five and one, you know, one and a half. And their age gap is just wide enough where, you know, my older boy gets annoyed with his little brother coming in and messing up his stuff. And I remember one day that my older son was making this big Lego tower, and he loves Legos and getting creative and inventing all kinds of fun stuff. And he was working so hard on this massive Lego tower while his, you know, little brother was sleeping. That's always the best time for him. And sure enough, you know, a little bro woke up and I brought him into the game room, and it was like watching a scene from Godzilla or King Kong with, you know, a giant clumsy being meeting a giant shiny building, you know, and it was demo time. You know, that thing came down and out came the tears and the rage. And my oldest son started yelling at his little brother. You know, and then the little one starts crying. And so they're both in tears at this point. And I remember in that moment trying to comfort, you know, my oldest, letting him know that although I knew how much that tower meant to him, that his relationship with his brother was so much more important and the most beautiful and more beautiful than any tower he could ever build. And as I was talking to him, I could almost see God looking at me like, are you listening to yourself? I don't know if you guys get those moments where you're giving somebody advice or saying something, and it's almost like Holy Spirit is talking to you through what you're saying, you know, adding a little, you know, P.S. you should listen to yourself right now because this is for you too. And I remember after that talk, having a moment with the Lord where I reflected on all of my own moments that I elevated. My hurts, my agenda, position, you name it, over a relationship, you know, whether it was my spouse, you know, my child's, you know, any other relationship. And those moments where, you know, we become more upset with, you know, for example, you know, our plan not happening, over caring about the person we just chewed out because we were upset about the plans not happening, you know, or moments where we chose to dwell on a mistake that somebody made, more than we chose to celebrate, a person's humility or apology after the mistake. So do you hear what I'm saying? That is a huge relationship and connection, damager right there. And it's so important, again, value the person, value the relationship, because it's so much greater than, honestly, the material things of this world, including our plans. And my son, in that moment, though devastated, chose to see his little brother as somebody who was trying to play with him versus, you know, this mean destroying monster. And they made a fun game out of, you know, building and tearing down. And it was a wonderful way to watch them just kind of connect and turn this thing into something wonderful, something that they could do together. And my son also learned to build his Lego creations on the kitchen table where his little brother couldn't reach. And so we've talked about connection, and I'm going to be wrapping this series up, leaving you with this. Looking towards 2019, I want you guys to ask God, what are some practical ways that you can start connecting or deepen connections, right? Because there's moments where we want to connect with people, and we haven't met this, you know, we haven't really engaged with this person, or there's somebody we've wanted to talk to, but we just didn't know how, or we haven't had the time, or it's kind of been uncomfortable, or we weren't sure how to do it, you know, fill in the blank. And so ask God how to start those connections. And then for the connections that we do have, you know, our connection with God, first and foremost, our connection with our spouse, if you're married, our connection with parents, our connection with our children, our connection with our siblings, our family, our friends, our neighbors, how to deepen those connections. Because oftentimes we get complacent and a little too comfortable, if I'm honest, with just things are okay. And again, being a person who's committed to personal growth, be a person who's committed to not just having okay relationships, but having strong relationships, having deep relationships, sowing into relationships and community, because that is being Jesus, right? Jesus said, they will know you by the way that you love one another. They will know that you are my follower, right? Because the greatest command is to love God and to love others. And so, God, how can we do this well? Not just how can we do this, how can we do this well and fully? You know, God may put on your heart to take out a new person out to lunch after church on Sundays, you know, once a month or however the budget allows for, you know, or to reach out to a family member that you haven't talked to in years. Maybe extend forgiveness, right? Or an apology, or to start sending encouraging verses or affirmations to some individuals. Or even setting reminders on your phone to follow up with folks you've been praying for. You know, that's a big one. You know, oftentimes we have these moments of connecting where we'll ask somebody, you know, how can I pray for you, or what's new, or, you know, whatever phrase we use. But then we don't follow up. A huge part of the intentional sowing of relationships is not just making the initial contact, but it's the following up, you know, following up with what we commit to, what we promise, but following up with a person's heart, following up with how a person is doing with something that we have been praying for, that deepens connections. And so there's so many ways to begin or to deepen connections, and it can be done as we continue to commit ourselves to personal healing and to intentionally choose a person over a discomfort. And so I want to thank you guys for listening in, for being part of this podcast. And if you answered any of my polls, thank you again for participating in that. This has been fun. And I look forward to more conversations. Feel free to send me some messages on ways that you connect, ways that you have found connection to be difficult, or ways that you have overcome barriers. I look forward to hearing testimonies. I look forward to seeing and hearing ways that you have been inspired to grow closer to God and to others. And I am thankful for you guys, and I pray you guys have a wonderful 2019, a wonderful time reflecting and just having a heart of gratitude for what God has done in this year, and that you have expectant hearts in God for what He wants to do in your life in 2019. Love you guys, and I pray you have a wonderful rest of your day.